You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Okay, so several weeks ago, I shared some thoughts with you all about how the Bible speaks to us. We may read a scripture today that has very little meaning to us, and then a couple years from now we read it and we go, whoa, that is amazing, because the Bible speaks to us as we need it, when we need it. I think I told you about a friend of mine who, when I asked him what his most meaningful story in the Bible was, he told me it was about the fishermen and Jesus, the story that we just heard read. And I laughed because I said, of all the stories about Jesus, this is the one that is the least meaningful to me. Because you see, I don't like fish. I think they have beady little eyes. I don't like to look in the eyes of something that I'm going to eat later. They flop around. They smell. Yuck. Also, even though I want to, I don't do well in boats. I get sick. And when I say I get sick, I hesitate to go on It's a Small World because it rocks back and forth. So the fish and the boats, so this is not my story. And so then Pastor John says, oh, would you preach? And oh, by the way, this is your scripture. Okay. So I have spent quite a lot of time looking at this scripture, and it is meaningful, and it does have a message for all of us, even for those of us who find fish ridiculously whatever. I believe that each one of us in our lives wants to make an impact. We want to be a blessing to people. We want to be significant, not for ourselves, but for the people who surround us. The scope of our lives is always different. You may be a doctor and save many, many lives. You may be a teacher and teach rooms full of children and adults. You may be a musician and speak to the hearts of people through a church choir or a hall full of people. Or you may be like me and touch people, one person, or in my case, one child at a time. But it is our desire to be a blessing. Last Sunday, I was talking to our children about the Beatitudes. Now, you know what the Beatitudes are. It's when Jesus taught us about the blessings. You know, you are blessed if you mourn, or you are blessed if you are meek. Now, this is really hard to understand, even for adults. There are 8 Beatitudes, and they're very challenging. But I think it's very important, especially today, for our children to understand that our behavior and our character, coupled with our circumstances, will make a difference and will be blessed by God. So I haven't been feeling really well lately. I'm just really tired. So when I was teaching this lesson last week, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, and if you finish, then you can go home and you can lay down. I was just bone tired. And so I was going through what I call the routine of teaching Sunday school. I was greeting the children. I was smiling. I was making sure they were okay. I was making sure that they were safe. There were teachers. And I was telling them a story. And then I surprised even myself. Because part of the Beatitudes is humbling yourself. And so I had asked Pablo to move a kneeling bench downstairs into the room. And I was going to have the children all take turns kneeling on the bench. And all of a sudden I said, if you would like to come up and I could give you a personal blessing when you kneel, only if you want to. And by the way, the alternative was to go outside and play. And I was so surprised when almost every child, and we had 52 kids last week, almost every child came up to get a personal blessing. And by my blessing them, oh my goodness, was I blessed. I walked out of there energized, and I have felt great all week. Those children didn't know it, but they blessed me through their allowing me to bless them. They knocked me right out of routine children's church. And I realized that our routines sometimes take over our lives to the detriment of what we really should be doing. So this morning in our scripture, we see really two different people featured. People who had impacts on our world, but their routines were different. The scripture begins with Jesus. He's standing on the shore of the Lake of Galilee. He's being pushed and he's being shoved by the ever-growing crowd. Jesus is looking for a way or an opportunity to teach the people, but he needs to get away from them in order to be heard. His impact on the crowds is so significant and so important. Jesus is never routine. An encounter with Jesus is never routine. To Jesus, each person, each situation is different and important. So I believe that Jesus looks up and he sees an exhausted Peter cleaning his fishing nets. And Jesus knows what he should do. Now, cleaning fishing nets, that was a routine for Peter and the others. They did it every day or every night in order to keep their equipment in top shape. I think most jobs have a routine element to them. It doesn't matter if it's the most mundane or creative job there is. There are always routines that have to be done. I have a dear friend who used to be an executive producer on the Jay Leno show. And every night when he would return home from the studio, he did exactly the same thing. It was a routine. It drove his wife crazy. I don't know why, but she hated it. And so, of course, he always did it. They have a wonderful marriage and a wonderful friendship. But he had the routine, and she hated it passionately. Of course, he's now retired, and he set up other routines to drive her nuts. But I think the scene that we're looking at in the Bible today is sort of similar in the sense that it was so routine that Peter didn't even think about it. It's what they did, even when they were exhausted. Jesus interrupted this essential routine and asks Peter to do two things that I don't think Peter wanted to do. So let's look at the scripture. First, we have to really remember through this whole scene that Peter and the others were exhausted and frustrated. They had spent the entire night working, fishing, and they had no results for their efforts. That meant they had no income for that day. No income to feed their families, to pay their bills. The reason that they weren't successful is not because they weren't talented. They were professional fishermen. They knew what to do. They knew the Sea of Galilee. They knew where to fish. This was a job they were trained to do. And yet that night, they had no success. And folks, I don't mean they caught just a few fish. They caught nothing. They did everything they were supposed to do, everything right. And yet they were not successful. So I ask you, have you ever done everything you were supposed to do, everything right, and not had a successful outcome? If you have, I think you know how Peter felt. The second thing we want to look at is that crowds were gathering. Now, I think that Peter could have been looking at these crowds and saying, boy, if we had been successful fishing, I could sell my fish to these crowds. These could have been potential customers, but there were no fish. And I suspect the crowds were loud, and we know they were pushing and trying to gather closer to Jesus. Peter was probably not only frustrated and exhausted, but just wishing to be left alone. Couldn't these people just go home? And I ask you, have you ever just wanted to be left alone? Have people leave you alone? And yet they won't? If you have, I think that you know how Peter was feeling. Third, Jesus gets into the boat first before he asks Peter for anything. After Jesus is in the boat, he asks Peter to take the boat out into the sea so he can teach. Now, I can't imagine Peter saying no. After all, frankly, Jesus is already in the boat. What are you going to say? Has God ever done that to you? Put something in motion that you have to respond to, even if you really don't want to, even if you're exhausted, even if it disrupts your routine? If that has happened to you, I think you know how Peter was feeling. So even before we get into the meat of this scripture, we see that Jesus has inserted himself into the scene. He comes uninvited and possibly unwelcome, but nevertheless, Jesus is there. So now the story transitions from Jesus' teaching the crowds to Jesus' teaching to Peter. Although a similar story appears in Mark and Matthew, it is only in Luke's gospel that Jesus and Peter's interaction is so detailed. Jesus tells Peter to take the boat back out into deep water, cast out the nets that were probably already clean, and there will be fish to catch. That's what I think Peter did. I think he sighed just like that. I know they were not only tired, but skeptical. Who was this man telling them to fish? He was not a fisherman. Now, I know Peter knew who he was because in various versions, translations of the Bible, he calls Jesus either master or Lord. But here is this man in my boat telling me what to do, and I want to go home. There are thousands of sermons and Sunday school lessons about this scripture. Most of them focus on the obedience of Peter and the others. But I think this story paints just a little bit different picture for me. I ask myself, are they obedient to Jesus, or are they just forced to comply? To me, obedience often means you have a choice, even if you don't like the choices that you can choose from. You can choose not to obey. You face consequences, of course, but you don't have to obey. But I'm not sure there was exactly a choice here, only because Jesus was already in the boat. Peter needed the fish. What did he have to lose? A few more minutes of his time? He does argue a little bit and questions. He says, we worked hard all night trying to catch fish and nothing was caught. And remember, folks, these aren't lightweight nets. These are heavy nets ready to catch a large school of fish. And so to put them back in the boat, and to have them ready to go is going to take a lot more effort. But Peter basically says, what do I have to lose? And says, You say I should put the nets into the water. So I will. And so he does. And we read that God provides a catch so big that not only were their nets and boats full, but they called over the other boat, and they were blessed with an abundant catch. Jesus got their attention. And that, of course, is the point. Peter acknowledges Jesus as Lord, and Peter is given a glimpse of his future. Jesus tells him that from now on, Peter's job will be to bring in people, not fish. And then Peter and the others respond, and they leave their routines, and they follow Jesus. Jesus made an impact that day not only to the people he was teaching, but to the people he was calling to be his disciples. He called these special people to follow him because he felt that they too could make an impact or a difference in the world, that they would be a blessing to the world. And look at Peter, a simple fisherman, the rock of the Christian church. He blows up the church when he has a dream and opens its gates, its doors to everyone and says, everyone can come. We relate to Peter, so many of us, because often he speaks with his heart and not his brain. He's often named as people's favorite disciple or most relatable disciple. But in order for Peter to become who Jesus wanted him to become, Jesus had to get his attention first. Knock him out of the routines of life and get him to think a new way. Jesus had to have him abandon those nets, the routine, the safety of his life, and move forward. And I believe that's what has to happen to many of us. As I said in the beginning, I believe people want to make a difference. They want to be a blessing in the world. And God calls us to do that. But I think too often we allow our routines, the demands of our lives, to take us away from what we are being called to do. We are called to make an impact in the world. Person to person, large groups of people, everyone is called to something different. And yet, when we allow our nets, our routines, to keep us from responding to that call, we are not doing what God wants us to do. And what is the call? To bring people to Jesus. Now, I know at this point some of you are saying, okay, that was great. I don't want to have to talk about Jesus to anybody. I'm cool. Thank you, Kathy. And that's okay. But I think that what we are really called to do is to, and I quote Matthew 22, Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest commandments, that's what Jesus told us to do. And if we do that, we are fulfilling our call. Those verses and our call are intertwined. If our hearts and our souls and our minds are filled with the love of God, that will spill over and we will be a witness to Jesus. If we love our neighbors as ourselves, we will be a witness to God's love. We can't help but want to step out and be a blessing. And I think that if you are a blessing to others, they will be a blessing to you. we can all have an impact. We can all be a blessing. Whoever we are, whatever we do, we can be a blessing from God. Now I invite you, as we listen to our fabulous organ call us to prayer, to take a moment and meditate about how you can be a blessing to others. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.